Very good, very good. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Let's see your Bibles tonight.
Word.
Very good. Let's try that one more time. Say word.
Word.
Let's see your pens.
Pen.
Lesson plan. Let's turn to John chapter 16. John 16. John 16. John 16. Okay, if I can ask all you to bow your heads, and we're going to pray together, and you could just pray with me out loud in a very soft voice. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Holy Spirit, thank you for being here today. I'm sitting here with my brothers and sisters. Thank you for getting us through last week. We know you love us. And we also know that you are a person. We want to get to know you better as a person. Please teach us today about who you are and the relationship you want to have with us. In Jesus' name, amen. 4 years ago or so, there was a young college player coming into the NFL, and he had a big reputation. He was supposed to be a number one, number two pick, but he had a lot of attitude problems, and he went to the rookie combine in Indianapolis and didn't run well, didn't test out well, and his agent was very concerned he wasn't going to get drafted high because he did so poorly in his test. So his agent called up a local trainer, athletic trainer, and says, I'm going to send you this guy. You know who he is. Everybody knows who he is, but he's out of shape and he's not disciplined. Can you work on him every day? We got like 5 weeks to get him ready for the draft. And so the athletic trainer who goes to church here said, fine, they brought him here. And you know, he was overweight, he was kind of lazy, real cocky, thought he was all that. And so we started working with him every day. And then the trainer called me and said, listen, we got to talk to this guy about God because he needs to get his spiritual life together. He needs to get his athletic life, his weight. He has a bad perspective on how to treat women. His whole life is jacked up. And so we need to be with him every day. So I wasn't with him every day, but the trainer was with him every day. But at night he would go out, someone gave him a $100,000 car to drive around. It was just a mess. And we had him over the house, we brought him to church. And what this guy needed was someone every day with him to completely transform his life. Unfortunately, he didn't listen. He got drafted, not as high, he didn't make the team, and now he's in jail. When you get saved and when you ask Christ to be your Savior, God knows that you cannot do it by yourself. It's not like coming to church 2.5 hours on Sunday and then all the rest of the week you could just be by yourself, because it just won't work. So what God did is he designed us such that the Holy Spirit, everyone say Holy Spirit, would be with us 24 hours a day, and that we can have a relationship with him as a person. Everyone say person. Now last week we started the series called The Invisible Man. And we saw last week that the Holy Spirit was God. Everyone say God. He is 100% God. He's not a force. He's not an it. He's not a light. He's not power. He is God. We saw that he was all-knowing, omniscient. He was all-present. He was everywhere. He's omnipresent. He was all-powerful, omnipotent. We saw that his name is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And we saw that he is 100% God. If you weren't here, you can get the CD in the bookstore. Today, we're going to learn that the Holy Spirit is a person. Everyone say person. Now, my wife did something to me the other day, and when she did it, I told her right after she did it, I'm telling the church what you did. She said, go ahead. You know, I'm laying in bed, sleeping, minding my business, just. And all of a sudden, before I woke up, she hits me on the back with a pillow. Bam! And that's how I woke up. She woke me up by hitting me with a pillow. And I'm thinking, did she just hit me with a pillow? I mean, like, body slammed my back. So I got up and said, what's the matter? She says, well, you were mean last night. I was asleep. Well, she had a dream. And in the dream, this woman calls the house, and my son answers the phone, and the woman says to my son, I need to speak to your dad. So my son says, well, what's your name? And she says, don't worry about it. I just need to speak to your dad. So my son gives the phone to me. Now, that's where the mistake, the breakdown was, right there. He should have gave the phone to my wife. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, there would have been a click, right? She would have, you know, girl. So I'm on the phone in the dream, laying on the bed, talking to this girl. And so my wife got upset because, you know, I was talking to this girl. So I was telling her, I said, oh, girl, you know I love you. There was no, so I kind of cuddled up next to her and said, there's no girl. You know, you're my night and my day, my earth, wind, and fire. You're everything. So she's, oh, okay. But she was hurting me. And I says, oh, by the way, that girl on the phone, what about her? Was she cute? That experience for my wife was very real. You know how dreams can be very real? It's like you're dealing with real people. And in that dream, she was interacted with on a mental level, on an emotional level, on a social level, a relational level. It was like they were real people talking to her. Every single one of us was made in the image of God. And God made us compatible with each other as people, that we can have a relationship mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually. No other animals can we have that kind of relationship with. And the Holy Spirit is that person. He is more of a person than you. What I mean by that is that we were made in the image of God, not the other way around. And we are sinful people. Matter of fact, we don't really have it down pat on how to love right, how to relate to people right, how to be patient correctly. We're faulty in all that. The Holy Spirit is the best person you will ever meet. We have to remember that. And so today we're going to just study that. The Holy Spirit as a person. Number one in your notes, the Holy Spirit is a He. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a He, not a it, a He. Chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus is speaking. Jesus says in verse 13, however, when He, everyone say He, the Spirit of truth comes, He, say He, will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. The Holy Spirit is a He. Don't assume for you to be a person, you have to have a human body. You and I have a human body, but it's really a shell to who we really are. Who you really are is on the inside. If I lost my arms and legs, I am still a person. I am no less of a person than if I had them. What makes me a person is my soul, my personality, my ability to have a relationship with other people on an intellectual level, on a spiritual level, on an emotional level. When God made Adam, He made Adam in His image like no other animal, and He says, and He brought all the other animals to Him, and none of the other animals were compatible to Him. None of the other animals were made in God's image, so He couldn't have a relationship with them. And so God says, I'm going to make Eve, and Eve was compatible. She was also made in the image of God, and they have the ability to have a relationship on every level of their being. The Holy Spirit is that person, except the Holy Spirit is the best person, the most complete, perfect person you will ever meet. Some of you ladies have been out on a date with a guy, and he may be cute. He's got a little six-pack, got all his teeth, and you think, okay, it's... You know, I'm feeling a little chemistry, what have you. And then when you talk to them, it's an intellectual miss. Or you get along intellectually, but emotionally there's no passion. There's no connection. But they're still a human. And you can talk to them, you can have a relationship, it's just no fire to take it to the next level. But you can still connect to some degree. The Holy Spirit is that perfect person who is perfectly matched with your intellect. Perfectly matches you emotionally, perfectly matches you spiritually, perfectly matches you socially. In other words, to get along and to guide you through all your social ups and downs. He is that person, and it's a He. So I want you to imagine this He, invisible man, who is the perfect person, the perfect boyfriend, the perfect dad, the perfect brother, whatever it is you want to call it, but he is the perfect person that God has says, I am going to send. Remember Christ died, rose from the dead, and right before he sent it, he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. That's what he's saying here. I'm going to send the Spirit of truth to you, and he will speak to you, and he will guide you in all truth, and he will be with you. It's not a light. It's not a force. It's not abstract. It's very specific. Number two in your notes. The invisible man lives in you. The invisible man lives in you. John chapter 14, verse 15. John 14. It says, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may that may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Say in me. Write down 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? When you ask Christ to be your Savior, the Spirit of God comes to live in you. The same Spirit of God that was involved in the creation of the heavens and the earth. The same Spirit of God that is everywhere all at one time, that is all-powerful, omnipotent, all-knowing, omniscient. The same Spirit of God that searches the deep things of God as they pertain to your life. That same Spirit of God lives in you. He lives in you. Years ago, we used to have a little parakeet called Sunshine. It was a little yellow, annoying, screeching bird. And we got it for the kids, you know, they were little, da-da-da-da-da. And every day, I was like, you know, I don't remember how we got rid of that thing, but we got rid of it. But it was in the house, and, you know, it was, couldn't fly, which was another thing. You get a bird, can't fly, it's, and it was kind of just hopping around the cage and hopping around the cage and, hopping around the cage. And all of a sudden, one day, it started limping. Oh, it started walking like this. I didn't know why it was tipping like that. You know, too much TV or something. I don't know. And what happened, we figured that. We took it to the vet and got the x-rays back, and you can see the whole bird skeleton. They laid the bird out like that. Its leg, I don't know if it was a girl or a boy, snapped in half. It was broke. What happened was one of my kids tried to see if it would fly, and they dropped it from up here, and it kind of went and just slapped on the wood floor, unfortunately. So we put a little stint on his leg, and I started thinking, why is this bird? Why didn't it cry? Why didn't it say something? Well, you know, when animals get hurt, they close down. They don't want the predators. This is their animal nature. They don't want the predators to know that they're weak, or they become a victim. So they as a matter of fact, if you have a dog and it gets sick, a lot of times it'll go sit in the corner and be quiet. It won't eat. It'll fast. That's how they get healthy, and they'll be quiet. People are the opposite. God created us with the ability to cry, the ability to ask for help, the ability to grieve and to be sad and to mourn. But a lot of times, we hold it to ourselves, and we may tell somebody, but the person that really knows is the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He knows how you feel. He is prepared to comfort you. The Bible says that God is the God of all comfort. He knows everything. He understands why you feel that way. He understands how to comfort you. He understands how to get you through it. But yet we don't talk to him. We say, God, help me. And God says, I sent the Holy Spirit. He's right there. Talk to him. He's a person. Is he? He understands. And so if we're going to get the most out of the Holy Spirit, we have to acknowledge that he is right there with us, living in us everywhere you go. Guess what? He goes. He's in you. And because he's God, he's already where you are going. He goes with you, and he's already where you're going. He knows when you're nervous. He knows when you're sad. He knows when you're scared. He knows when you have you're anxious or you have anxiety attack. He knows all about that. And he's wanting to help you. He's a person who lives in you. And he is compatible with every aspect of who you are being. Remember, you were made in his image. You were made in such a way that you can be compatible and have a compatible, complete compatible relationship with him on every level of who you are. Take advantage of it. Don't waste them. Don't look at them as an it. Whenever I see women who are pregnant, a lot of times other people will refer to the baby as an it. How's it doing? And what's going on with it? It's a person. It's a human. The Holy Spirit is more of a person than that. Number three in your notes. Number three, the invisible man has a mind. Everyone say mind. The invisible man has a mind. Say amen if you have a mind.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn to, you're in John, you have Acts and then Romans. Romans chapter 8, two books back. Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit has a mind. Do not assume you have to have a brain to have a mind. How many of you think you have to have a brain to have a mind? Raise your hand. Very good. You're not going to raise your hand because you know it's a trick question. You have to have a brain to have a mind. You do, because you're human. But the reason you have a brain is because God had to make a physical, something physical to put in your head that would enable you to process in a similar way that his mind processes. But he has a mind. It's his mind that our brain is modeled after. It's all the things our brain does was modeled after the mind of God. Remember, we were made in his image. We were made in his image. We are a physical representation of the image of God to the degree that God wants us to be a physical representation of the image of God. Look what it says in verse 26 in Romans chapter 8. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next week, we're going to talk about how you know what the Holy Spirit sounds like because he speaks. One of them is a groan. But look what it says in verse 27. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. The mind of the Spirit. Say mind. The Holy Spirit thinks about you. The Holy Spirit, everything your mind could do, by the way, you probably use about 10% of your mental power, your mental capacity. There's so many things your brain can do and your mind can do. But your mind was modeled after his mind. As your mind can create, he is the master creator. As your mind can plan, he's the master planner. As your mind can strategize and organize, he is the master strategizer and organizer. And as your mind can think about all the good things about yourself, he can think about way more. Matter of fact, if you went home today and wrote down on a piece of paper and took all night to write down all the good things about yourself, you probably would come up with about 20. Even if you're really arrogant, you may come up with 30. But that's about it. You probably do quick, you know, I'm cute, I'm smart, I'm funny. And you do that real fast. You think about those every day. But then after about 7 or 8, you can be like, I don't know what else. Do you know what the Bible says? That the mind, that the God's, the thoughts he has for you are more than the sand of the sea? That if you go to the beach and try to count the sands, obviously you can't. But if you went to the beach and took a handful of sand and put it in your hand and did that and tried to count that God's thoughts towards you are more than that, that he's thinking about you every day, and those thoughts are good thoughts. That's how much God thinks about you. This person that lives in you is thinking about you every day. This person that's in you is thinking about your life, what you can do with your life, the better decisions that you can make. And as you think, he's thinking. And as you're making decisions, he has decisions for you that are better. Remember, his job is to lead you into truth. So he is thinking with you. And he's thinking, believe me, he's way ahead of you. So why don't you ask him, what should I think about this situation? What would you do in this situation? How would you respond in this situation? Because he has a mind just like you, better than yours. And so we have this person, he who lives in you that has a mind. He's all powerful, all knowing. He's ever present. And you can say, Lord, I'm getting ready to go to school. Matter of fact, whenever I wake up, I always ask him, God, about my day. And usually, every day, he will tell me in his own way, we'll talk about next week what it sounds like, if something bad is going to happen that day. And every time he tells me that, he is absolutely right. He will say to me in a certain way, today something is going to happen. And I just get ready. And then all day long, I'm praying, God, show me, what is this it? How should I react? And then when it happens, I got to go to him. What do I do when it happens? And a lot of times he won't tell me until it happens. And then when it happens, he'll say, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to react. Remember, we have a relationship, mental, spiritual, emotional. And if you submit all that to him and you trust him, he will guide and direct you. Remember, he's a man. He's invisible. He lives in you and he has a mind. Number four in your notes. The invisible man has a will. He has a will. You're in Romans. The next book is 1 Corinthians. Turn to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is going to give people gifts, different spiritual empowering and ways that the Holy Spirit wants to express himself through you. And in verse 11 it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So when God looks at you, he says, you know what? I'm going to give you the ability to teach, but I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the ability to administrate. I'm going to give you the vision. I'm going to give you discernment. I'm going to give you the gift of helps. And he's going to give it to every single one as he wills, based on his big picture for your life. So here's God looking at you. He's thinking about you. He knew you from before the foundations of the earth. He was there when you were formed in the womb. He knew the plan for you, big picture. And he says, you're going to be born, you're going to have these natural talents, and when the Holy Spirit comes live in you, he is going to dispense to you specific spiritual gifts as pertaining to his thoughts about you and your life. It's all coordinated. It's not random. And you are a very specific, non-accidental human being. You weren't an accident to him. You weren't random. You weren't a surprise to him, and he has it all ready for you. The gifts I have, I have, and the gifts I don't have, I don't want to even try to have them because I ain't going to get them. I will not get them. If you can't sing, do not sign up for American Idol. If you can't run, do not join the track team. If you can't jump, don't try to be a high jumper. But if you're good at math, do something in math. If you're good at counseling, do something in counseling. If you're a good listener, go do something with that. Because that is what God is going to distribute to you, the ability to do, and it's going to be determined from his desire for you. He has a desire for you. And by the way, if that's what he's given you according to his will, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that he's also prepared good works for you to do in advance. In other words, if he's created you to be a good listener, he is going to send people to you who want to talk. If he's gifted you to be a visionary, he's going to give you places and put you in places where you can dream. If you're an organizer, he's going to put you in situations where you can organize. He has those situations, circumstances already planned as well. But you may not walk in them. You may never experience them if you don't talk to him. You may even get there and not see it because you're not talking to him even when you're in a situation. You may think, well, they already got it hooked up. No, ask. Hey, can I help? Well, yeah. What do you do? Well, I got ideas. We need someone who got ideas. The devil will just convince you to just walk away. You got to keep talking to the Holy Spirit every day, all day, about everything in your life. Because he created you in his image to live in you so he can express his will through your life that you may be blessed. He lives in you, has a mind and a desire for your life. Number five, the invisible man can be grieved. Grieved. You're in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 4, three books back. Grieved is when God goes, that hurt. Say amen if you've ever made God go, oh, why'd you do that? Yeah. When the Jews asked for a king, they asked for King Saul, God said, okay, there's your king. And Saul messed up, and the Bible says God regretted that he made Saul. What does that mean? That means that he went, oh, man, he did what I knew he would do. It hurt his heart. I want you to imagine. God knows how he created you. He knows your ability. He knows how much he wants to empower you and work through you and all the answers he has to tell you. He knows all of that. And he knows all the circumstances waiting for you to walk in them so he can work through you to help all these people. He knows all that. And then we take our free will and go, I'm going to do this instead. And he goes, oh. Look what it says in verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When you hurt, God hurts. The Bible says that Jesus was a man of many sorrows. I did a crusade in Buffalo 10 years ago or so. And it was over 2 days, it was about 13,000 people. And we had about 5,600 people that came forward that we were able to document. And one of the altar calls, it was in the Midland Arena, what was used to call Midland Arena, I don't know what it is now, it's where the Buffalo Sabres play. It's three levels. The arena was three levels. And all these people came forward. It was an amazing sight. And I was standing on the stage going, man, look at all those people. And God said to me, I know every single one of them. And I know all their pain and all what they're going through, and I'm going to work with every single one of those people. And I was like, man, God, I wish I knew that. He says, no, you don't. You don't want to know all that. But God knew what he could do with all those people. Every single one of them was very special to him. And he knew if they would trust me and let me bless them, I can radically change their life. Unfortunately, they won't, and it broke his heart. I was watching Cops yesterday, and these cops were arresting these crack dealers. And when they jumped out of the car, they threw these guys on the ground, and this one crack dealer, he had six rocks in a little plastic bag that he put in his mouth and was going to swallow it. And they had him on the ground, and they were had his arm behind his back, his face on the concrete, and they would tell him to spit it out. They were trying to open his mouth, and there was like four cops on him. And I'm sitting there, it's just breaking my heart because here's this human being made in the image of God that's swallowing poison, selling drugs, shriveled up, to nothing. A week ago, I watched 3 hours of a show called Gangland. It was on History Channel. They did an hour on the Aryan Brotherhood. They did an hour on a Hispanic gang in L.A. Then they did an hour on a black gang in Chicago. And I just sat there for 3 hours, 1 hour on each, black, brown, and white, brown, and black. They went through all the colors. They say it's just an hour on all how they live and how they think and how their whole structure and everything. And I'm looking at these guys who are leaders, courageous, strong, creative, smart, that the devil says, I'm going to take all that talent and I'm going to make it this. And they're all going to end up dead and in jail, every single one of them. And it grieves God's heart because God made those dudes and he loves those dudes and the women and the kids that they're involved in. And they're either dead or in jail doing horrible things to their bodies, horrible things to the people around them, just shooting each other. Just, we all know it. And we're not that much different. Same thing. You may not be in jail, but guess what? God made you in his image and God is looking at you going, man, if you would only let me love you, if you would only let me speak to you. Some of y'all's relationships are just messed up, and you've been going through a cycle of get back together, fight, get back together, fight, get back together, fight. You know that's probably not going to end until you break up, unless God intervenes. The best way to anticipate future behavior is look at the past. Some of y'all get a job, you get fired. You get a job, you get fired. You get a job, you quit. You get a job, you quit. You move from this place to this place. You take some classes, you get a bad grade. It's just a cycle. And the devil says, that's right where I want you. Right there doing basically nothing. Going basically nowhere. I just don't want you to be on fire for God. And the Holy Spirit's saying, man, I have so much for you Do you know that the devil cannot create, he can only pervert? And everything that God made and that was good, remember, the Bible says he created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he said, I'm finished, and everything is good. And he rested on the seventh day. Well, the devil came and says, now I'm going to take everything God made, and I'm going to pervert it and turn it around, and I'm going to sell it to you. And I'm going to convince you that my version is better than his version. And we buy it. And we don't realize until we're depressed, lonely, pregnant, diseased, in prison, addicted, whatever, until something's wrong, and then we blame God. And God says, don't blame me. I've been trying to tell you the right way all your life. That's the Holy Spirit. He has a mind. He's thinking about you. And every single one of you, he's saying, give me a chance. Let me lead you and guide you into truth. Let me show you who you are. Look at number six. The invisible man, he loves you. He loves you. L-O-V-E-S. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Three or four books right before where you're at. Romans 15, verse 30. Verse 30, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit. Everyone say, love of the Spirit. Very good. That you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. God loves you. Everyone say, the Holy Spirit loves me. Again, we're not talking about a force. We're not talking about a dove. We're not talking about a light. We're talking about an invisible person, a man who loves you, who has the mind of God, who knows the deep things of God that pertain to you, who lives in you, who thinks about you all the time, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he loves you. Why don't we talk to him? Why don't we trust him? In every situation, Holy Spirit, should I trust this person? Holy Spirit, should I wear those clothes? Holy Spirit, do you want me to, should I go to school for 4 years and spend X amount of dollars to be a business major or not? What am I going to be when I grow up? You meet these kids that go to USC, 40 grand, 50 grand a year, and they work at Starbucks after spending $200,000 on college. Save the money. Go to Mesa. Then go to Starbucks. Holy Spirit, what should I do? Talk to me. He loves you. He has nothing but your good intention in mind. The devil, on the other hand, hates you. And the devil will tell you, I don't know if you saw the video, it was actually several instances where these teenagers were giving little kids pot to smoke. And they were actually putting it in their mouth and having them smoking it. 2 and 3 year olds. And they're convinced that this is going to make them laugh. Oh, look at them. They're laughing at the kids because they're getting high. That's what the devil does to you. He gives you what you think is going to make you happy. Little does he know, you know, that he knows he's trying to ruin you. God says, I love you. I wouldn't do anything to hurt you. That man that wants to live inside of you, that knows everything, that's all powerful, loves you. And he's saying, talk to me. Trust me. Let me guide you. Let me lead you. I want to. You're dating? I want to bless your dating. I really do. You got a job? I want to bless your job. You got money? You want a job? You lost your job? I want to hook you up. Look at number 7, the last one. It says the invisible man speaks. The invisible man, he speaks. Turn back to John 16, where we started. John 16, where we started. John 16, verse 13, Jesus speaking. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. Let me tell you what he's telling you. One, everything in this book. He's telling you, I know you. I know your pain. I'm living there. I know your fear. I know your anxiety. I know your what you don't know that you're scared of. I love you. I have all the answers. I know tomorrow and next year. I know that. And I want to bless you. I love you. I know what's going to happen with your life. I know what could happen. I know all your potential better than you know. And by the way, there are things, I'm 48 years old, I'm going to be 49 this month, and God showed me last year something that I could do I never thought I can do. You have skills and abilities that you probably never knew you had that are blow your mind. The Holy Spirit's saying to you, I got all that. So I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit's telling you right now, I would love to have a chance to bless you. I would love to have a chance to have a relationship with you and be your friend. But if we do it, I have to be the boss because I'm God. I'm not coming to be your rabbit's foot. I'm coming to lead you, not to follow, to lead. I'm coming to renew your mind. So I'm asking you for an opportunity. There's two groups of y'all here today. There's some of y'all who are Christian. And you've prayed to receive Christ sometime in your life, but really, you really don't get with the Holy Spirit at all. You pray to God and you read your Bible when you come to church and whatever. But you need to renew your vows. I did a wedding a year and a half ago with this couple, and they were going to move back to New Jersey. The girl was an OC girl, and she never lived outside of California. She was going to move back to New Jersey, live with her husband and his family, and start a business all at the same time. And I told them, if you do that, you will not make it. They did that, and they didn't make it. He mailed divorce papers about 2 months ago. The divorce papers got lost in the mail. Make a long story short, they renewed their vows yesterday, right upstairs here at the church, and came forward today to, amen, very good, very good. The vows that they said were the same that they said a year and a half ago. It wasn't the vows, it was them. They said, now we have an open book test. We know the answers. We know what we did wrong. There are some of you who are Christians like that. You need to say, you know what? I need to involve the Holy Spirit this time. And then there's some of you in here, you've never asked Christ to be your Savior. You've never invited the Holy Spirit into your life, and you've been trying to do it yourself. One prayer for both of y'all. I'm going to give you the opportunity today. Let me encourage you, do not pass up the opportunity to have this Holy Spirit, this invisible man in your life. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you speak, that you think about us, that you have a desire for our life, that you're not there just floating around us, that you are trying to implement a plan in our life. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you have a mind, that you live in us, that you'll never leave us or forsake us, that there's nowhere we can go where you won't be. Thank you. As you sit in your seat, listen on tape, wherever, on the internet, if you would like the Holy Spirit involved in your life, on His terms, you would like to invite Him in your heart. I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Some of you need to be saved. You need to ask Christ to be your Savior, and by doing so, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Some of you have already been saved, but the Holy Spirit has not been actively involved in your decision-making. For both of those people, pray this prayer with me if you would like to initiate this relationship. Pray in the privacy of your heart, dear God, I am a sinner, and I haven't been trusting in the Holy Spirit. I know who Jesus is, that He died and rose from the dead for my sin. So please forgive me. Please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I invite you in. I give you authority over my life. Fill me up to overflowing. Guide and direct me. Speak to me. Love me. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing up, you are acknowledging, yes, I am inviting the Holy Spirit to be part of my life, and I am going to allow Him to lead me and guide me. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet if you prayed that prayer and you're ready to take the next step in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 God bless all of you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you.